words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be ever acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
How many people here have ever read one of the books or seen one of the movies in the Lord of the Rings trilogy? Okay, about a third of you. So for the other two-thirds who are unfamiliar with the Lord of the Rings trilogy, a little overview. It was written by British scholar J.R.R. Tolkien in the first part of the 20th century. And it is a three-book saga about the forces of good versus the forces of evil, the forces of light versus the forces of darkness in this epic battle for the control of Earth. And it's not just really our Earth, it's a place called Middle-earth, because Tolkien wrote a fantasy. It's a world filled with dwarves and elves and goblins and dragons. And you would think that this epic story of good versus evil would be enough to fill three books, and it would. But Tolkien instead primarily writes about a much smaller saga. It's a story about a ring, and specifically about this group of characters that carries the ring from one point to Middle-earth all the way to another point. In the context of this great struggle, it's a story about these characters, their fellowship, their relationships, the relationships that were formed, the relationships that were deepened. In the context of this group and everything that they did to overcome their struggles. Now, I don't want to make an allegory of this, but I do believe there's something in today's gospel that has a lot to do with this. The Gospel of John presents the story of Jesus Christ, and it sets us up to hear this epic saga. John the Baptist declares that Jesus is the Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world. He is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. He is the Son of God. Even today's collect says that Jesus is the light of the world who will be known, worshipped, and obeyed to the ends of the earth. We're set up to hear a grand story of good versus evil, a story of redemption and salvation. And yet, at the heart of today's gospel is something much smaller. It's a story of two disciples, story of a fellowship. So these two disciples spend the day with Jesus, and they come to know him to be the Messiah. And one of them, Andrew, what is the first thing he does? It says, you can read it, the first thing he does is he goes and he gets his brother Simon, and he brings Simon to Jesus. If you come to know someone to be the Messiah, you would think you'd put everything down and follow them on the way. That's not what he does. The first thing he does is he goes back to his brother. If we continue to read a couple more verses, you'd see this theme repeated. When Jesus calls Philip to be a disciple, the first thing Philip will do is go and get Nathanael and bring Nathanael to Jesus. This dynamic of coming to know Jesus, to recognize him as our Lord, and then seemingly going away from him to connect with someone else, to go deeper into relationship with someone else. This dynamic is shot through the entire Gospel of John. We see it here at the very beginning of John. We also see it at the end of John. If you can remember the post-resurrection stories of Jesus. So after he was crucified and he was placed in the tomb, in the garden, then 3 days later, Mary Magdalene comes and she finds the empty tomb and she's distraught because Jesus is missing. And then she sees Jesus, but she mistakenly identifies him as the gardener. Do you remember this? And so she goes up to him and says, "Where have you taken my Lord? Where is he?" And Jesus speaks to her, and in that moment, she recognizes that it's Jesus and she cries out, "Rabboni," and she goes to grasp him and he says, "Do not hold on to me, because I have not yet ascended to my Father. Instead, go to my brothers. Tell them about my resurrection. Comfort them in their grief and in their fear." And we see it again, actually, a little bit later. when the post-resurrection Jesus is on the beach and he's cooking fish, and he gives Peter three times an opportunity to make things right. So he says to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter says, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Feed my sheep. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Tend my flock. Simon, son of John, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. Well, then get the hell off of this beach and go out into the world and care for my children. Care for my flock. Feed them, nourish them, build them up. If you love me, if you call yourself a disciple of mine, it is going to compel you to reconnect with those around you. From John 1 to John 21, in a gospel that is seemingly set up to show this epic saga of global redemption and salvation and the Son of God coming amidst us, it's actually a story of a fellowship. People who come together in the name of Jesus and because of Jesus, and in that fellowship they love one another and they support each other. That's the gospel. That's what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. So that should actually raise the question for us. In our discipleship, in our quest to follow Jesus, who is in our fellowship? Who are we drawn to connect with, to bring in to this movement, to this Jesus movement? We can ask all of us, we can ask this question of ourselves in our personal lives, in our relationships. We can also ask it in a broader sense of the St. Mary's community. Who does St. Mary's partner with? Who is in our fellowship? You can look in your service program in the announcements. Three organizations right there that are mentioned. Our Christmas offering, almost $3,800, was given to the Cape Cod Council of Churches. And this was an effort to partner and to nourish and to feed and to support our homeless neighbors and women who are coming out of prison and children. And there are dozens of other organizations here on the Cape that we commit our time and our treasure to as parishioners. These are people that because of our faith in Jesus, we feel pulled to get out of these four walls into the greater world. In this season of Epiphany, when we're invited to open our eyes and realize perhaps new ways that Jesus, Emmanuel, is present to us, I'm going to invite all of us into a period where we ask the question, who is in our fellowship? Who do we invite in into our journey of faith? And perhaps even more incisively, because we are disciples, who are we compelled to go and be present to love and to serve? Because if we seek Jesus, we will find each other. Amen.